Good evening and welcome to our services tonight. We appreciate everyone being here and coming back for our Sunday night service. Thank you, Brett, for remembering me in your prayer. I always appreciate that. Humbled and to do God's will, and that's what we hope that we are doing here tonight. Greener grass is what I titled tonight's sermon. I was at a convenience store, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, and I had paid for my gas and just trying to be friendly with the cashier, and I was asking her, how are you? And she said, well, as one man put it, we're seeing the greener side of the grass. I took a little step back. I didn't know, what the greener side of the grass. So I said, the grass is greener on the other side. She said, well, I hope. And so it wasn't like she was really convinced, or she was just kind of like, she was in a negative mood, I guess. And I said, well, I believe it. And I said, I hope you have a great day, and just kind of, left it at that. But what if this life, this was it? The life that we're living right now, this is it. Full of sorrow. We have some joy, but there's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of disappointments. What if we had no hope of a better future? Do we really believe that this life right now as we know it is as good as it's going to be? Is as good as it's going to get? Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. When he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. The New American Standard Version says, if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. The New Living Translation says, and if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. And the easy to read version that they have, he says, if our hope in Christ is only for this life here on earth, then people should feel more sorry for us than for anyone else. If in this life all we're doing is having a hope of what? Just of what this life is going to offer? Or are we hoping and we're looking for something that is reaches far beyond what this life is? We are of all men most miserable. Is there more than this life? And the answer, of course, is yes. A resounding yes, there is more to this life. We realize, and we all need to realize, that there's a birth and a death. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, and it goes on. That's one of the verses that sometimes that I use when I'm preaching a funeral. Because there's a time for everything. There's a birth, and we're joyous, and there's a death, and a lot of times there's a lot of sorrow associated with death. If the grass is not greener on the other side. If it is greener, and someone dies in Christ, is the grass greener? That's what we're going to look at tonight. As we look at who provides us life, and as we see that from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over all every creeping thing and that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female, created he them. He created us. He gave us life. And the very ones that gave him life, and gave us life, also brought into this world death. We see after the fall of man, God telling his creation what he had given life to. He said, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till all thy return to the ground. For out of it was thou taken, and from dust thou art, and unto dust shall ye return. We live, we die, we go back to what we came from. but is the grass, as I've already said, and then the question that we're posing tonight, is the grass greener? Well, as we look and we look at the promise of life that God has given, we can look in Romans chapter 5 here in verses 17 through 19 where it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." In verse 18, he says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And so by obedience, one shall many be made righteous." That promise of life, even though man fell, God still made it a way for us to have life. We didn't have to die continually. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 through 22, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." It's in Christ that we're all made alive. When we look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through and 14, when he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I want you to know something concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as you which have hope, have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and He arose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him." Do we have hope? Do we have a lively hope, a living hope of life afterwards? Because He says, He's given us life. He's given us a free gift of Jesus. He's given us those who are in Christ are made alive. Those who are asleep in Jesus, God is going to bring them with Him if we're in Him. He also says about the promise of life in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. When he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, He's begotten us again unto a lively hope." A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. To an inheritance, one that is incorruptible, one that is undefiled, one that will not fade away. Something that is reserved in heaven for you, for me. Those who are in Christ, this reservation is made for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last day. So the question is asked again, is the grass greener? From the verses that we just read, we can definitely answer again. The answer is yes, it is much greener. When we are in Christ, the grass is greener on the other side. But some will deny life. Some will deny that there is life after death. It's not anything new. Because when we look to the Scriptures, and we look in Mark chapter 12, and we see those verses in 18 through 27. We see that the Sadducees, that they did not believe in the resurrection. We see that they questioned Jesus about a woman who was married to seven different men, and they wanted to know whose wife that she was going to be during the resurrection. But Jesus let them know very quickly that they had erred. That wasn't what life is. That's not what life after death is about, seeing who you're married to. It's about living with our Savior and our Father. Teaching about the resurrection caused problems back then. And when we look in Acts chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and it says that as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the people and the Sadducees came upon them. So here they're preaching, they're teaching, and here they come. And what do the Sadducees have to say? Being grieved that they taught the people. They were sad. They were grieved that the people are being taught and preached through Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. There's life after death. They were upset about this. If in this life, all we have is hope, we are of all men most miserable. There's something else. We look in Acts chapter 23, verses 6 through 8. We see here Paul again, he recognizes that some of the people in the crowd are Sadducees. He recognizes that some of the people in the crowd are Pharisees. And he tells them, he says, "I'm a Pharisee." Because Pharisees believed in the resurrection. He said, "I'm the son of a Pharisee. of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, that I am called into question. The reason that I'm here, the reason I'm called into question is because I believe in the resurrection. I believe there's something, there's a greener grass. When he said these things, there rose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The multitude is divided because, see, the Sadducees say there's no resurrection. There's no angel. There's no spirit. The Pharisees confess both. Some, as we see in Acts chapter 17, verses 19 through 32, we see some who are mocking the teaching of of a life after death, of a resurrection. We see them that they're mocking that. And here Paul is there on Mars Hill. And he has seen this inscription is made on an altar to an unknown God. And he starts expounding to them about Jesus and about God. He says in verse 24, God that made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwells not in temples made with hands. Neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needs anything, seeing he's given life to all and breath and all things. But he said in verse 26, he says, and hath made one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. They should seek something else, not just what's here on this earth, but they should be seeking the Lord. He goes on and says, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. He's not far. Jesus is not far from every one of us. He is with us when we are in Him. But some is going to deny that. Some is going to cause problems for you and me when we talk about it. It's going to cause dissensions when we talk about it. Some people might even mock you if you're talking about it. But here he says, he's appointed a day. He's appointed a day in which he's going to judge the world in the righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. This promise that is denied, where does it come from? Where is the promise of his coming? How do we know this? When we look in 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, and here in this epistle, he's writing them, he's trying to stir up their minds by remembrance, and he's wanting them to be mindful of the words that have been spoken by the prophets and words that have been spoken by the apostles and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's trying to stir their minds up. And he says, knowing this first, for there shall come some in those last days scoffers, walking about with their own lust, following after their own desires, only worried about what they want, not what anyone else wants, not what God wants, but what they want after their own lust. And the question is posed, where is the promise of His coming? Where is the promise of coming of Jesus? And he goes on, he says, for since the fathers fell asleep, he says, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. He goes on and he talks about this promise and he says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some men count slackness. He says, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what he wants. That's what he wants for us. He doesn't want us to perish. He doesn't want us for this life to be as good as it gets. Because see, if that's all we have a good life and we don't have Jesus, that is as good as it gets. Because hell is not going to be, is not, if you're not in Jesus, that's not a good place to be. He says that day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night. The heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. The things that we see, the things that we feel, the things that we touch, the things that we put our trust and hope in, those things are going to be gone. He says, but seeing all these things, they're going to be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you ought to be in holy conversation, in godliness? Why are we going to worry about our conversation? Why are we going to worry about our how godly we are? Why are we going to worry about those things? Because if there's not something else later, why would we worry about it? Because he says we're going to be looking for. We're going to be looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord. Do you look forward to the day when Jesus comes back? Is it a day that you are excited and happy about, that you tell others about, that you can't wait for Jesus to come back? Or do we even talk about it? Because someday, we're going to pass away. And our opportunities to tell others about Jesus is going to be gone. What happens? What happens when Matt dies? What happens when you die? We know from Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return unto God who gave it." This old body is going to die, but the spirit is going to live on. Now, where is that going to live? Well, we can look at another example of the rich man and Lazarus. We can look at these two individuals here, and we can see that the rich man, he was in his life, he had all the finest things in life. Probably he couldn't ask for anything else. He had these fine clothing. He fared sumptuously every day. But then you had another person, Lazarus, who was a beggar. He just looked forward to the crumbs that fell from the table. The dogs came and licked his sores. But it happened that the beggar dies. And the angels of God carry him to Abraham's bosom. The rich man dies, and he's buried also. And when he opens his eyes, he is in hell, in torment, seeing Abraham afar off, seeing Lazarus in his bosom. Now, when you ask the question now, is the grass greener? Yes, if you're in Christ. No, if you're not in Christ. Look at this. Here you have this rich man, and he is crying out to Father Abraham, "Have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and just cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." Abraham says, "Son, you remember in your lifetime you received all the good things? Remember Lazarus, the evil things that he had to endure? Now he's the one that's comforted. Now you're the one that's tormented. Besides all this," he says, "there is between us and you, there's a great gulf that is fixed, so that they which should pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us, that they come from hence. Even if I wanted to," he said, "you can't go to peace and rest. And they can't come to torment. And you wouldn't want to." But he says, "But I pray thee, Father," he says, "that you would send them to my father's house. I've got five brethren there. Please go and testify to them and come, so that they will not come to this place of torment." Is the grass greener? But he said, "No, Father Abraham." But Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and prophets. Let them hear them." Kind of like Guy telling us this morning that we have brothers and sisters here who are lost. We need to be going to them. Just like here, he's saying, you know, it's too late for this individual. He can't send anybody. That's why we have the present. That's why it's that gift. But he said, "No, Father Abraham, but if you just raise somebody from the dead. They'll repent. If they're not going to hear Moses, they're not going to hear the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." See, when you ask that question then, is the grass greener? But it depends on how you live your life. As Brother Stewart had in his lesson, by the choices that you make. You see, the Spirit does live on. And when you're in Christ and you're living for Christ, it will live on. We see that in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. You have someone whose life was squandered, he kind of had squandered his life away, but when he recognized who was the Savior, what did Jesus say to him? "Today shall you be with me in paradise." In Acts chapter 2, verses 22 through 32, we have here, it says, as they're preaching here, it says, "You men of Israel, you hear these words." You hear these words. What words? Jesus of Nazareth. You're listen to what he had to say. A man that was approved unto God by the miracles and the wonders and the signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. You listen to this man. You listen to the Savior. But what did you do to him? You crucified him. You killed him. But what did he do? He rose from the grave. Up from the grave he arose. And he arose to sit on that throne so that you and I could have that life waiting for us to bring us home if we are in him. What's going to happen on that judgment day? We know it's upon unto man wants to die. But after this, the judgment in Hebrews 9:27. We know that from Matthew chapter 24, verses 35 and 36, that no one knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels, only the Father. We know that from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so much is as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. There's no escape from the judgment. As we think about the judgment, we're all going to be changed in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. The trump's going to sound. The dead is going to be raised incorruptible. We're going to be changed. This corruptible body is going to put on incorruption. This mortal body is going to put on immortality. You know, which way is it going to go? Immortality, living forever or dying forever? For when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal is put on immortality, then they shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory for those who are in the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 and 17, another picture as we see it. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Won't that be a beautiful sight? The dead in Christ rising first, and they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Will the grass be greener on the other side for you? Will it be greener for me? Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, all as I live, says the Lord, every knee is going to bow to him, and every tongue is going to confess him. Every one of us is going to give an account of ourselves to God. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Jesus said, every idle word, every word that we speak is going to be a given account of there in the day of judgment. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his fathers and his angels, and he shall reward every man, reward them for their works. What reward will yours be? What will mine be? There is rest for those who come to Jesus. There is rest for those who put on Jesus. Who live for Jesus and who die in Jesus. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sweet rest. But we have to crucify that old man. We have to put that man beside us. We have to put on Jesus Christ. We have to live our life for Christ so that we can walk in his greener grass. This afternoon, Brother Guy was reading 23rd Psalm. I couldn't help to think of and he was talking about the life of Miss Baker and the long life she lived, but even the longer life that she hopes to continue to live because she was a faithful child of God. When he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. If tonight is your night to die and leave this earth, are you going to get to lie down in green pastures? That's the choice that you have to make and I have to make as we live our lives each day. There is the invitation song. I have decided to follow Jesus. If you make that decision tonight, won't you come as we stand in that?